We will be doing a lot of reading this. I want to give it to you just like God gave it to me. I'm going to try my best to to make sense of it so that you can understand it, so that you can leave and have a strategy and a plan of how to go forward. I'm going to take my time with the word this morning. Please hear me and please take notes. Acts 16 and 25, and I'll read through verses 33. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and jumped in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be rescued?" And they said, "Believe, trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved and your house." And they spoke the word, and they spoke unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and his straightway. Verse 34, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God, trusting in God with his whole house. How beautiful of a story. It didn't start off like that, but it has a beautiful ending because God intervened. So remember, the theme of this is singing, suicide, and salvation. Paul and Silas singing praises in the toughest of times. The jailer wanted to commit suicide, but then his entire house gets saved. Wow. All in a matter of an hour or a few hours. And so when we make a note of what's going on here, first we want to write down that Paul and Silas had just had their clothes torn off, had been completely humiliated, were beaten, and thrown into the inner prison. So keep that in context. So it wasn't like they were on vacation and ran into somebody and was sharing the good news of the gospel with them. And matter of fact, the guy was a part of the system, the oppressive system that had them beat and humiliated and thrown into prison. And they still felt the need that this guy needed a savior. This guy needed to be saved. Why not just say, "Good riddance, goodbye, let this dude kill himself, forget him and everyone that stands for this oppressive system"? But see, we have to operate through the love of God, with the heart of God, to care for those that are different from us and might even be part of an oppressive system. Let me say that again. Salvation comes as a result of God's love, not of man's love. So we have to operate through the love of God with the heart of God to care about those that might be different from us, even if they're part of an oppressive system. They still need to be saved. We needed to be saved when we were separated from God. Just because they're separated doesn't mean they don't need the love of God. And regardless of what they've done to us, or what they stand for, we're still obligated by the word of God to share the love of God and the salvation of Jesus Christ to all. The Bible is clear. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There will be every tongue, every kind, and every kindred in heaven. God doesn't discriminate. We do. So here's Paul and them. They've been beat. It's a difficult situation. They're singing praises. And they forgive, they have the capacity through Christ to forgive someone who had just wronged them and who was part of the system that had just wronged them. So here we go, verse 28. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Verse 29, then he called for a light and sprang in, came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out, verse 30, and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? How can I be rescued? I think he was maybe thinking about a physical rescue, but then Paul and them gave him so much more. They gave him a spiritual rescue, a spiritual salvation. So here we go. This is what I want you to take notes on. Stay with me on this. It says, read this, so I have to read it. Make a note, Paul's heart and love and kindness and forgiveness. Let me say it again. Paul's heart, his love, his kindness and forgiveness, all being transformed by Jesus Christ, by the power of Jesus Christ. To be able to forgive someone who's a part of the system that is just completely foul, beat you, humiliate you, stripped your clothes off, and threw you into the inner prison, and you have the heart and the love and the kindness of God to say, don't do yourself any harm. You need to be saved. And so tell me why you can't forgive someone now. Can you tell me why you're still holding that grudge? Why you can't love someone? Why you can't forgive someone? And this is in the most difficult situation that Paul and Silas are in. They're chained. They're in the stocks. They're singing praises, and it's the toughest situation, one of them, of their life. And they still have the heart of God to offer forgiveness. So tell me again why you are still holding that grudge against your brother, against your sister, against your parents, against your kids, against your coworkers, against your siblings. Tell me why you can't forgive. And I'm talking to the body of Christ now. The world's going to do what the world's going to do. But I'm talking about those of you that say you believe in Christ and you love God. Why can't you step outside of yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to fill you so you can operate in forgiveness and love and kindness just like Paul and Silas did? If we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, then get yourself out of the way so Christ can strengthen you to do it. And don't tell me what they did to you, because Paul and Silas were just humiliated. Christ was crucified on the cross. He said seven things. The first thing he said was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We can't get around that, regardless of what the system is about. Even with Christ, the system that crucified him unjustly, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So tell me why you can't pray for your enemies. Why you can't bless them, as the word says, that persecute and despitefully use you? This is the word of God. I'm not talking to the world. I'm talking to those of you that believe in Jesus Christ. We're operating on a totally different maturity level. Make a note of this. So Paul's mind was renewed, which Paul talks about in Romans 12 and 2. So Paul's mind was renewed. His mission was renewed. He was killing Christians before he got converted. So don't tell me God can't save anyone, because Paul was killing Christians. They were afraid of Paul when he got saved because they thought he was setting them up to kill them. His mind had changed. His mission had changed. His message had changed. The message was now Jesus Christ is Lord and get saved. His mind, his mission, his message. And because of that, and because he was in Christ, his maturity level changed. And he was mature enough to pray for someone who had just beat him, stripped him, humiliated him, and locked him up. The mind, family, make a note of that. Your mindset has to change, and it's renewed in Christ. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, that's Romans 12, 2, by the renewing of your mind. Your mission has to change. Your mission now is not about a business or money and all that. All that stuff, that's okay, but that's not your mission. That's the tool that helps you accomplish your assignment and your mission. Your mission has to change. Your message has to change. It can't be about you anymore. It has to be about Jesus Christ. Then your maturity has to change. Otherwise, you'll never pray for anybody that does anything wrong to you, which is contrary, totally contrary to the word of God. And you have to be in Christ. Family, mature message this morning. Get your notepad, put on your hard hat and your boots. We're going to work. And it gets deep. It's not complicated. I'm trying my best not to complicate this, but we're going to go a little bit deep. All right. Thumbs up. Amen. If you want to go deep this morning, because the world's not playing with us, so we can't play with the world. I can't come in here and we're playing patty cake. Patty cake days are over. We got to get into the meat of the word. Then we got to go out and live this thing. Your mindset has to change. Here we go. Paul could have said, good riddance, this jailer is part of the system that's so oppressive, and the system that's holding me back, and the system that beat me, and the system that could care less about God. Sounds like it could be our culture, our society today. Why would Paul even care about that man that's a part of the system? Why should you care about the man or whoever's a part of the system? You know why? Because God cares. Because our mind, our mission, our message, and our maturity has changed. That's why we care. That's why we can't get caught up in foolishness. We have to pause within the pause. Because now folks are more interested in going to the beach and going back to work and stop wearing a mask when they should be interested in running to Christ. We got to pause within the pause and get refocused. Then you have all the other distractions coming up. God cares. God sent his son Jesus Christ to die for the ungodly. And because God cares and God doesn't discriminate, I'll say it again. Remember, it's not a skin problem, it's a sin problem. God doesn't discriminate at all. We do, but God doesn't. There's no place for racism or any other ism in the body of Christ. So here's the message within the message that God gave me. And so here we go. Let's go, family. It says that racism is only one branch on the tree of sin. So here we go. We're metaphorically speaking. That's a comparison. And here's a tree. At the root of the tree is the system of sin. You can call it the cycle of sin. You can call it systemic sin. Make a note. Systemic sin is at the root. That's the root. And as the tree grows up, there's all these branches that's on it. That's a result of the systemic system of sin that we are in. And so racism is only one branch on that tree. And there's no place for it in the body of Christ. And until we deal with the root, until I deal with my sin and your sin, because the word says that if we turn, humble ourselves and pray, seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways, that's the sin. Until we do that, God can't even hear to heal. And so I'm so busy dealing with symptoms, I never get to the root, which is the sin that I'm in. And the only way to break the curse of that sin is through Jesus Christ. So here we go. Let me show you. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Let me try and create an illustration for you. Genesis chapter 2, and let's start at verse 15. I'll give you a quick second to get there. I love the word of God because I try, and you all know South Bay Abundant Life family, I try and go one place, but I'm all over the place. So Genesis 2 and 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to tend to it and to keep it. So we got to pause right there. So men, the Lord put the man in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it. Here we are, men, in the midst of COVID-19, and we're in our house. Men, and what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be cultivating it and guarding it, because that was man's assignment from the beginning, to cultivate, to grow. You're cultivating your relationship with your spouse. You're cultivating your relationship with your kids. We got to get focused. We get so far off track. But right here, God said he put us there to cultivate, to nourish, to love, to add water. We compare it to your house, a thermostat. Is your house run by a thermostat or a thermometer? A thermometer changes. It goes up and down. Your family walks in and they don't know what temperature you are today. You're hot, you're cold, you're all jacked up. You're loving, you're kind, and you're cursing them out. You're screaming at them. You're all mean. You're not talking to them. You can't run your house by a thermometer. You have to be the thermostat. That's cultivating. Thermostat is set to one temperature. Regardless of what's going on outside, inside, it's always nice and cool inside. That's cultivating. It's what God assigned us to do. We get so distracted, we forget about our number one assignment is to cultivate and to guard and be a protector. But you cultivate and you guard through love and through kindness, all the fruit of the Spirit, the joy, the gentleness, the meekness, the self-control. God put us there to have self-control and to cultivate. And especially in times like these, when it's difficult and uncertain, and you don't have a choice but to be at home, step up and be mature and be the man that God's called you to be. That's a side note within the note. But then God says in verse 16, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat freely of. Say, you can add anything you want. Just do your own thing. But of this one, in verse 17, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest of that tree, you shall surely die. You will be separated from God. And the day that you commit sin and do what I told you not to do, that's the day that we're going to be separated. So we see we got a tree, right? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Of course, we know the story, and Adam and Eve were Eve was tempted by Satan. Adam participated, committed the sin, because right here, Eve wasn't even, men, before we want to blame Eve, Eve wasn't created here. This is God talking to Adam. He put him there to tend it and to cultivate it and to guard it. So we can't blame Eve as much as we want to get mad. Adam was the one that committed sin because God told him. And he should have stepped up and covered his wife when she ate the fruit. That's another message for another time. But Adam was the one that committed the sin. Eve was tempted and deceived. But when Adam ate the fruit, he knew exactly what he was doing, because right here God told him not to. So let me make it as plain as I can. So we got a tree, we got a tree. And so whether it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I'm saying that we have a tree, metaphorically speaking. And at the root of that is sin. And is all the sin is satanically inspired by Satan. On the tree is the root, and that's the root of it. And until we deal with the root, we will never have a breakthrough in this world. And the world's going to do what the world's going to do, but we can't be deceived and get caught up in symptoms. So on this tree, we got all these branches, and on this tree that's influenced by Satan, and it's part of the systemic sin. And we see the results of it all around us. And here are some of the branches and the leaves on the tree. It's discrimination and classism and racism, institutionalized racism, jealousy, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, jealousy, false witness, slander, disease, sickness, arrogance, lies, deception, hate crimes, murder, robbery, false prophets, false religious, self-righteousness, violence, child abuse, sex abuse, abortion, trafficking, sex trafficking, crime, envy, pride. And these are all the branches coming from the tree. And look, you will spend your whole life chasing a symptom and never get to the root cause of the sin or of the situation. Let me say it again. You got folks dedicating their whole life to a symptom of on a branch on a tree that's fueled by systemic sin. You spend your whole life chasing a symptom. Dedicate your whole life to a symptom, and you never deal with the sin that's at the root. And then you stand before God smiling and say, look at all the good I did. God said, you spent your whole life chasing a symptom. You never dealt with the root of sin that's in you or that's in the world. You never dealt with the curse of sin. It was never broken through Jesus Christ in your life. And you're smiling thinking you did something, but you didn't do anything but chase a symptom your whole life and never dealt with the root. And then God says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You spent your whole life chasing a symptom. And until we get to the root, we're not going to see any change. And let me share this with you too, family. If you look at society within the pause, as God has allowed things to be shut down, look how the enemy is operating. You get your feed on your phone, you look on the news, and it's something dealing with racism. It's dealing with money. It's dealing, and people are sitting at home and they're getting upset and they're getting mad and they're ready to go hurt people. And it's all, and see, those are all symptoms. The news is good. We're just putting out the symptoms. They never get to the root, which is sin of mankind and Christ being the answer. So you watch the news and they show all the symptoms and you're upset. And then you dedicate your life to a symptom based on what you see. But you're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. You got to get into your word. You got to stop chasing symptoms. Can't let these symptoms get you upset. You got to get into the word and get into the root. God is very clear. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If my people shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal the land. We can't get to it, because we're being deceived by the symptoms and we're not dealing with the sin. Please make a note of that. Says most people, says, read this. Until we deal with the root, the cycle of sin will continue. We are in a world that is lost and deceived and dead in sin. And they refuse to deal with the root. Just want to deal with symptoms. It's all satanically inspired to keep you distracted. So you die and stand before God thinking you did something chasing a symptom. Guys, I didn't call you to chase a symptom. I called you to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which breaks the curse of sin and reconnects us back to God. Family, we can't get distracted in the midst of the pause. We can't slow down. Don't rush to get back to the beach. Run to God. Don't rush to get back to work. Run to God. Don't rush to get you a gun and be ready when someone runs in your house. Run to God. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, thus says the Lord. The Lord is covering and keeping his children. You know, don't start getting caught up in all these symptoms. Spread the good news. And until we deal with the sin, it's nothing's going to change. That's for sure. So I have it written down, so I'm going to read it again just for your edification. Unfortunately, most people dedicate their life trying to fix or correct a symptom, which is on the tree of sin. Most people never reach their God-given purpose of dealing with the root of systemic sin that creates the symptom. It's a vicious cycle of sin. And remember, racism is only a symptom of a deeper problem, and that's the problem of sin. The systemic sin is the root of all the problems of mankind. Make a note of that. That's the revelation. The system of sin is the root of all the problems of mankind. It's built into the fabric of mankind from the day we were born to the day that we die. And only a life in Jesus Christ can break the curse of this systemic sin. Don't dedicate your life to a symptom that will never be fixed by sinful mankind. Outside of Christ, you really can't do any good in a world with its roots steeped in sin. Nothing changes until we deal with this sin and turn from our wicked ways. Make a note, family, our mind, our mission, our message, and our maturity has to change. And then as a result of that, our life will change. Look at verse 29. Then he called, the jailer called for a light. He jumped in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. So we have to be on the other side of the coin. We have to be the voice of God screaming to the world, do yourself no harm. That's what Paul and Silas. We have to cry out. Can't major in symptoms, family. We must preach the life of hope through Jesus Christ. We have to cry to the world and anyone that will listen, do yourself no harm. Christ is the ultimate. Christ is the ultimate in suicide prevention. And remember, I think I shared with you last week, when there's a crisis, C-R-I-S-I-S, we have to remember that Christ is. Make a note if you didn't last week. When there is a crisis, C-R-I-S-I-S, we have to remember that Christ is. Make a note, God is always there for his children. We just have to choose. And the book of Joshua says, choose this day who you will serve. It's a choice, family. You can't make anybody do anything. We have free will. God equipped us that way. So you don't have to browbeat people. And remember, it's a time when the preaching stops and the praying starts. You shared and you talked enough. Now get on your knees, pray and fast for their salvation and for the change, for the rededication. And stop fighting against people. You're not fighting against them. If you're still getting upset with people, you have a lot of maturing to do. You're still dealing with symptoms. You're still in the symptom stage, and you're attacking a symptom when you attack a person. Get to the root. The same thing that kept you the way that you were the same thing that keeps them the way that they are, which is the sin. And the only thing that can break it is Jesus Christ, not you browbeating them, not you going off on them, not you putting them in their place. As if you have the right and the authority to put anybody in their place. It's the grace of God that saved you and I. So if you're still attacking people, you got a lot of growing up to do. All right, so let's wrap this up. Verse 29. Then he called for light and he sprang in. That the word sprang, it's interesting to use that word in the Greek. Sprang, he leaped in, he rushed in, he ran to the light. Ha ha, make a note, you don't have to be terrified of the light. Here's the jailer. He asked for a light. He didn't realize it. He was asking just for a light to see. But Paul and Silas were getting ready to give him the light of the world, which you know is Jesus Christ, which was going to change his life. I love that. He trembled and fell down before them and asking for the light. Turn with me just a couple of, well, actually just a book back, which is John chapter 8. Where do you want to start at? We want to start at verse 10. So John chapter 8 and verse 10. This gentleman is asking for a light. He thought he was just getting a visual light. But Paul and Silas gave him the light that would change his whole world and save his whole family. Jesus Christ declares, I'm the light of the world. So let's go ahead and deal with that. We talked about it before, but make a note, Jesus is the light of the world. We have an argument in society which is based on our pride, which is another root of sin. Who's the greatest of all times, whether it's sports or music, or who's the best at this, who's the best at that. That's okay. I mean, that's a good argument to have, but we had a lot of great men and great women do some amazing things, but none of them can claim to be the light of the world. That's a whole nother level. It's a whole nother level when you're the light of the world. It's what Jesus Christ claimed to be. This jailer is asking for a light, and they just didn't give him a physical light. They gave him the light of the world, which is what we all need. That's why Christ told us to let our light shine. That's a John 8 in chapter 8 and verse 10. Very familiar passage of scripture where these so-called righteous, self-righteous men, all dealing with the symptom of sin, catches a woman in adultery. And the last time I checked, it takes two people to commit adultery. And so why would they drag the woman in? And matter of fact, make a note of this if you haven't dialed in on this. They're in church as well. So Jesus is in the temple. We go to church, but they were similar, same thing, temple, church. They're in the midst of a church service. Here are these self-righteous men steeped in sin come bring a woman to church in the middle of Jesus' message and say she was caught in adultery. Deal with it. Talk about a teachable moment. And why, how can she just be by herself? Where's the guy at? It's another message for another time. But I love how Jesus broke it down and declared that he's the light of the world. Just think about when he says this. And so I set it up to put it in context. So we pick up the narrative at verse 10. And when Jesus had lifted himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those accusers? Where are these guys at that wanted to accuse you? Has no man condemned you? Verse 11, she said, no man, Lord. Underline that. That's the shift in her relationship with Christ. He's not just a prophet. He's Lord. He's King. He's the Lord of her life. And that's why he's able to tell her, because now that he's her Lord, when you make Jesus Christ your Lord, he can tell you, neither do I. I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. The shift in him just being a regular man or something, a good man or someone you read or heard about, when he becomes Lord of your life, then he can forgive your sins because you've accepted Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, and your sins are forgiven. Until then, you're just walking around self-righteous like these men were, thinking that you have it all together. Make a note of this. Jesus said he doesn't condemn her. And that's why I'm telling you, when we approach people, we got to put the finger of condemnation. You. We got to put that finger of condemnation in our pocket and extend a hand of mercy and grace, just like God did for us. Put that finger of condemnation in your pocket. Take off your self-righteous robe. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Stop condemning people. We got to extend the hand of mercy and grace, just like God did for us. The word said that God loved himself unto us. John 3:17. Most people quote John 3:16, but 3:17 says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. If you're walking around and you're condemning people and you're telling people you're going to hell because you're not operating with the spirit of God, you're operating with the spirit of pride. And that's part of that leaf on the tree of sin. And you need to confess and forsake that and show mercy just like Christ did here. Let me read verse 11 again. And then I'm going to go right into verse 12, just like Christ did it. Right. I believe it was very dramatic. Verse 11, she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then the next thing Jesus said in verse 12, I'm the light of the world. He says this in the temple. I'm sure he said it just like that. That's the next thing he said after he told her to go and sin no more. I'm the light of the world. He that follows after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He made it clear. Oh my gosh. Jesus is the light of the world. And I'm sure he was just as passionate about it, because these jokers, these clowns tried to come in church and disrupt the house of God. And Jesus wrote all their sins. It said the finger of God. He wrote the finger of God wrote in the sand, and then they all went out because most scholars believe he wrote all the sins they were involved in, because he said, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. So this wasn't like no nice, pleasant get together. They're trying to disrupt God in the midst of a message, and they got the biggest message of their life. And hopefully they repented when they went out of there. And Jesus decreed and declared that he's the light of the world. So I have a read this. So I'm going to read this. It says, we must be born again, so we don't have to practice sin. We must be born again, so we don't have to practice sin. Here's to read this. Those of us that are in Christ, we don't practice darkness. It's what Jesus said in verse 12. I'm the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not walk. You don't practice darkness. But we have the light of life, and that's why we go around and we share the light of life in the midst of a dark, fallen world. that's steeped in systemic sin, and people are dealing with symptoms, and we had to get to the root because Jesus declared that now we are to let our light shine through the Holy Spirit working in us. So here it is, and get this, family. I want to make a note. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. Those of us that are in Christ, we don't practice darkness. We struggle in certain areas of life, but we don't walk in darkness. Hear what I'm saying. Don't confuse the practice with the struggle. We all dealing with something. We're all struggling with some issue because there's temptation, distraction, and frustration all around us. So we're always tempted. We're distracted. We're frustrated because there's so much going on in the world. But in the midst of that, I'm not practicing any sin. I'm tempted and I'm frustrated and I'm distracted in my struggles as I'm going through. But I'm not practicing any sin. What's the difference? I'm glad you asked. The difference is when you're walking in darkness, you make excuses saying, hey, well, this is my truth and I'm just doing me. And trust me, your truth is totally different than the truth of the word of God. But this is what Jesus said. We don't practice darkness by using excuses. This is my truth. And this is how God made me. And this is who I am. My mama was like this, my grandmama, my granddaddy, and this is who I am. This is just us. This is just how we get down. Jesus said, you're practicing darkness, and you must be born again in order to stop practicing sin. John 3:3, make a note of it. I don't care how you was born. We all was born with a default. We all was born into the system of sin, and we'll be in it from the minute we're born to the minute we're died. We're all in it, but you shouldn't be practicing any sin. You're struggling with a lot of things, just like the rest of us. Welcome to the club, but the only thing that breaks the curse, the exclusive club that's open to everybody, mind you, Christianity, an exclusive club that's open to everybody. Welcome to that. And so we're all dealing with it. But the difference is we're not practicing it. Jesus Christ is the only person that died for our sins and broke the curse of sin. Jesus declares in John 3:3 that you and I must be born again and not practice sin. Jesus declares, I'm the light of the world. In the midst of a disruptive service, in the midst of a bunch of self-righteous clowns coming in the middle of church trying to disrupt it and point the finger as opposed to extend the hand, Christ has to let them know that he's the light of the world. Family, make this note as we wrap it up, and then we will pick it up next week. Just make a note in the book of John, and you can turn there if you like, and we're wrapping it up. John 9:3-5. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that have sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Verse 5, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And now that Christ has ascended, sent the Holy Spirit to live in us, the third person of the Godhead, we have that light in us. Remember, family, your mind has to be renewed, your mission, your message, and your maturity. All in Christ. In John 9:3-5, in the midst of forgiving and healing, Jesus declares he's the light of the world. And here's the revelation. We reflect Christ when we humble ourselves and forgive and allow God to heal. Let me say it again. We reflect the light of Christ when we humble ourselves, forgive, and allow God to heal. Can't be preoccupied with the world of the foolishness, who's the greatest of all time. A symptom of our man-made pride. Jesus says he's the light of the world. 1 Chronicles 29:11 declares that God is the greatness. God's not trying to be great. God is the greatness. Let's deal with the root and the solution. The root is sin. The solution is Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Jesus makes it clear in John 14, 6. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man can reconnect to God except through Jesus Christ. And here's the last revelation, and we'll pick it up next week. The man called for a light and received true sight in Christ. He called for the light and received the true light and life which is in Christ. Family, let's stop dealing with symptoms. Let's get to the root. Let's humble ourselves. Let's turn from our wicked ways. Seek God's face so God can hear and God can heal. Family, we've got to change our mindset. Transform, not change it, get it transformed by the power of God, the message, the mission, the maturity. As a result, our life. We have to submit to Christ. We have to start loving and showing it. Putting a finger away, put that in our pocket, and extend the hand of grace. We will never change the world for Christ by dealing with symptoms. Let's get to the root. Bow your heads. Lord, we thank you, we love you, we bless you. God, we've been spending our whole life chasing symptoms and wonder why nothing changes. So God, we need your help. Don't let us get distracted by the symptoms that they show on the news and in our phones, all symptoms of a huge problem, which is systemic sin that we all were born into. God, your word says if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So forgive us, Lord, from getting caught up in symptoms and spending so much time dealing with foolishness and not dealing with the root. Your word is clear in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We all need a savior. God, let us get the message out. All have sinned. That makes us even. It's not about a color. It's not about a socioeconomic. It's not about a gender. All have sinned. God, we need a savior. We need your help. And your word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be rescued. God, you don't discriminate. We do. Let us break the curse of discrimination by getting to the root. It's the sin and offering the world the light, which is Jesus Christ. So we need your help, Lord. Don't let us get caught up in stuff and things that are symptoms of sin. We need your help. Give us clarity. Give us vision. Give us discernment. Let us walk not in pride and arrogance, but with the light of Christ, with the love of Christ, with the kindness of Christ, with the joy of Christ, with a transformed mind, a transformed message, a transformed mission, and a transformed maturity. Thank you for your word this morning. Maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. It's as simple as asking Christ to come into your heart. Just repeat these words after me. Dear Lord, come into my heart. Help me to be the person that you created me to be. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. And thank you for resurrecting on that third day. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord, so I can live for you. God, change my heart, change my mind, transform my heart, transform my mind, transform my mission, transform my message, transform my maturity. Lord, even transform my mouth so I can speak your word and speak the light of Christ to a dark world. God, I commit my life to you and I ask for your forgiveness. And I thank you that your word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus Christ, I'm calling on you now to save me. I need you. I admit I'm a sinner and I need a savior. I need you now, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer and you, please, I would ask that you would send the email. We have some information we can send you, email to you that just kind of lets you know about the incredible decision that you have made. And welcome to the family of God. Just like we all had to do it, and it doesn't have to be in church. I shared before I was saved at a summer camp Who brings a Bible to a summer camp? We're hiking, we're swimming, we're in the mountains, we're playing games and all this kind of stuff, and somebody has a Bible and shared the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with me. I was 17. My life has never been the same. So it doesn't matter where you are. You can be in a cabin at midnight like we were in the midst of the Angeles National Forest and ask Christ to come into your heart. He's that real, and God will. So please send the email. We'd love to send you some information and just let you know about the incredible decision you made to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. I want to thank you all so much for being here this Sunday. Please come on out on Wednesday night for Bible study. You'll definitely be blessed. Wednesday night Bible study starts at 6:30. And again, if you have any prayer needs, prayer requests, life@southbayalc.com. Wednesday night Bible study, I guarantee you, your life will be blessed if you join us for Bible study. Just 1 hour. 1 hour that would change your life. An incredible, powerful hour that would change your life. In preparation, read 2 Samuel chapter 12. We go through the entire chapter. We break it down verse by verse and just have some incredible dialogue and insight and discernment from the Holy Spirit and through the saints of God, through the wisdom of God, through the power of God. And then those of you that would like to give to the ministry, return your tithe, give your offering or make a donation. Go to southbayalc.com, select give, and we thank you for your giving. I hope you have a whole page full of notes. If you have any questions, email me, life@southbayalc. If you need me to expound on anything that was spoken in this word today, I hope you get it. Don't go through life chasing symptoms. Get to the root. And so at least you know you're not chasing a symptom. You know what the root is. And share the love of God on your job as you're doing your job. Your job is just a tool. It's not your assignment. Your assignment is the message, the mission. But your job is your tool. Wherever you are is just a tool. Your money's your tool. The assignment is to make disciples and build the kingdom of God. And you can't do that chasing symptoms. You got to get to the root. You know that we all have sinned. And until we can get to the root of that, people can't get healed. People can't get delivered. People can't get set free. They need the power of God to touch their heart, to transform them. So I love you. We're going to pray and then we're going to dismiss. Lord, we thank you for your word. May our mind be transformed. May our message be transformed. May our mission be transformed. May our maturity be transformed. May our mouth be transformed. God, we need you today more than ever. And we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. Bless the remainder of our day. May we share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone who's caught up in symptoms and trying to get us angry about symptoms. Let us go right to the root and share the root of systemic sin and how we all must be born again. It's through the light of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray and say, thank you, Lord. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Look forward to seeing you Wednesday night, and then look forward to seeing you next Sunday as we continue the series, Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd. God bless you. I love you, South Bay Abundant Life Church. I love you, my Facebook family, all visitors and friends. I love you dearly. Be safe and be strong, and look forward to seeing you really soon via Zoom. God bless. I muted him after the song.
Are you doing that?
Mm-hmm. I muted him after the song, sorry. Hey, I'm a DJ. I'm a DJ, homie. Sorry, my DJ skills are a little off, Carrie. I'll wait till after the song. You finished with the song?
She's going to fade it out now.
All right.
You already stopped recording.
All right. Yep. Mm-hmm.